إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد،
We will continue on the book of marriage from the book of Nail al-Awtar, at the chapter or the section, the section of Nikah
al-Muhallil. قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المحلل والمحلل له.
المحلل والمحلل له.
لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المحلل والمحلل له، رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وصححه والخمسة إلا النسائي من حديث علي مثله، يعني له رواية أخرى عن علي رضي الله عنه. قالوا عن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بالتيس المستعار؟ قالوا بلى.
This is the section of the talks about the Muhallil. And Muhallil is the one who would come and make a false marriage in order to make the woman that is no longer lawful for her former husband lawful. And this is the Muhallil. So this is the section that talks about the Muhallil. And Muhallil here is the one that who get married to a woman that was divorced three times by her husband. Can we have the Sheikh open for you, please? The Sheikh open the section for me.
حتى يحلها لزوجها. فالمحلل هو الذي يتزوج.
The محلل is one who got married to a woman that was divorced three times by her first husband, and she is no longer lawful for him to remarry him again. So the محلل is the one that will come and get married to this woman, not for the sake of marrying her or bona fide marriage, but only to make her lawful for the first husband to marry her again.
ومن صوره
and one of the scenarios of the محلل is the scenario that where there is a debate about it, is a debate where the second husband is gets married to her and he has the intention of divorcing her, but he did not write that on the contract, as the contract, the marriage contract was written or done. So here, so in this case, if the wife has been divorced once, then her husband can have her back again during the idda, which means the 3 months of the three periods. And during this period, the husband has the right to get her back after the first divorce. He has the right to have her back during those 3 months, but after the three, the idda or the three periods, then but if she got divorced three times, then he cannot return her again until after she got married again. If she got married to a different husband and she got divorced from him, then the first husband can marry her again. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the three divorces in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if he divorced her, then she will no longer be lawful for him to marry until after she got married to somebody else. After that, if she divorced that second husband, then he can get back to her, the first husband can get back to the wife. And which means the second husband, if he divorced her, then in that case she can come back to the first husband that was divorced three times. So here there has to be three divorces from the first husband before that prohibition would take place, until after someone else other than him will marry her. And if the second husband just happened to divorce her, then the first husband can marry her back again. And here the muhallil is a person that will come in picture after the three divorces. And there are conditions that are met for the person who will get married to the woman after the three divorces. He must marry her, and he must live with her as husband and wife, and they must have sexual intercourse before he can divorce her. So, and here if we have a scenario where the husband divorced his wife three times, and then after that she got married to a second husband, and that second husband never had any sexual intercourse with her, and he divorced her. So here in that, the Prophet ﷺ, when this happened, he said to the woman who did this, is that you cannot divorce the second husband until after you will have sexual intercourse with him. So that's based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that she had to have a relationship with that second husband, sexual relationship with him. So here the Prophet ﷺ cursed the person who would come and muhallil, the one that would come and get and marry the woman after the three divorces, only for making her lawful for the first husband. And that would be considered like cheating to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person would come and marry the woman just in papers, then divorce her so she can be lawful for that first husband. And here Allah has made it so strict that after three divorces that's it. The woman cannot come back to the husband unless she would marry somebody else. And one wisdom behind this is that in Sharia Allah made this as a law so that people cannot take divorce as just a light thing, and if that was the case, then people would probably be divorcing twice and three times and four and five and on and on and on. So to be taken so lightly and never seriously. And when the husband realized that after three divorces there would be no return, he will be careful and he will treat his wife well and treat her with honor and dignity. And the divorce, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as an end to the relation between the husband and wife. And here that's where wisdoms and talking wise is not going to help, then the divorce is going to be the rule in that case. So and when that happens, that will be like a way of discipline too to both husband and wife. And especially if it takes place after three times, then it will be so difficult for them to come back unless she would marry somebody else. And then So because of that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has talked very seriously about the person who would attempt to make the muhallil. And all this hadith here, it talks about cursing the person who would come and marry a woman that was divorced, just with the intention of making her lawful. And there would be a serious, severe punishment for the person who will come as muhallil. And everything that has been mentioned was cursing by Allah and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. That means it is considered one of the major sins.
على بطلان النكاح إذا شرط الزوج أنه إذا نكحها بانت منه.
And here, and this hadith was taken as that the second marriage is not valid if the second husband has made that term or condition that he is going to just marry her so they can divorce her, and he made it clear that he is going to divorce her so that she will be lawful for the first husband.
بذاتها يعني بمجرد دخوله بها او اشترط انه بمجرد ان يدخل بها سوف يطلقها الزوج او نحو ذلك.
And if they put any condition that he was going to divorce her, that will make that marriage annulled and or not valid.
طيب نقل هنا عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه.
Has been reported by عمر بن الخطاب.
جاء إليه رجل.
Said that a man came to him.
سأله عن رجل
and asked him about a man who divorced his wife three times.
تزوجها أخ له عن غير
a brother of that man married this woman. And we don't know if that's a blood brother or a brother in faith. But there is a brother who came and married this woman after the three divorces. And the second one has married this woman so that he will make her lawful for the first husband. So after the three divorces, this brother came and married this woman so that he will make her lawful for her
husband. ليحلها لأخيه هل تحل للأول؟
And there was no any.
قال لا.
There was no agreement between the two men in this case. And Umar said no.
إلا بنكاح رغبة.
Umar said no except with a bona fide marriage.
عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And Umar.
لا إلا بنكاح رغبة.
And Umar said no, except if this marriage was a bona fide marriage. But if he married her only to make her lawful for the first husband, then that is not a valid. This is not a valid marriage. That's what we learned from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar said. And the Prophet said no marriage except a bona fide marriage, except a marriage that is done for the sake of marriage and sincerely for marriage, not for any reason other than marriage itself. So the scholars, the majority of the scholars took that as any marriage that is made in order to make the wife lawful for the first husband is considered invalid. Invalid. Even if the second husband intended to just make to do this marriage for making the woman lawful for the first husband, and he never spoke about it to anybody, he concealed it, but that's what he intended. In that case, the marriage is not valid. And the majority of the scholars agreed upon that in the school of thoughts. And according to the author, he brought in the other opinions that some of the people that made this permissible are like Abu Thawr and some of the Hanbali followers. They said that it may be permissible. And Abu Thawr is one of the students of Imam al-Shafi'i, and he was one of the scholars of fiqh. So Imam Abu Thawr said that if there was no any condition put during the marriage contract, then it is permissible for the second husband to marry and divorce the woman, as long as there is no anything said explicitly during the marriage contract. And also some of the Hanafi followers took that opinion as well. They also agreed with that, took that opinion. Some of their support or some of their evidence for this second opinion. It was narrated by عبد الرزاق
روى أن امرأة أرسلت إلى رجل فزوجته نفسها.
A woman sent to a man that she married him, so that she would be lawful for the first husband. So this woman sent to a man, and obviously this woman was divorced 3 times. So she sent to this man, and she demanded that she marry him, so that she would become lawful for the first husband. And Umar has ordered them that this man must leave with her and must have sexual intercourse with her. And Umar has threatened this man that he was going to punish him if he doesn't do that. So if he doesn't leave with this woman as a man and husband and wife.
قال فصحح نكاحه ولم يأمره باستئنافه.
So the man had agreed to it, and his nikah or marriage was okay. Then Umar has taken it as a valid marriage in that case. And Abu Thawr said, regardless of what Umar said to this man, then the marriage either valid or invalid. But since Umar has validated the marriage, they said then it is okay, and it can be permissible in that case for the man to marry the woman, as long as there is no any term or condition put during the marriage contract. This is the point of different opinions among the scholars, that if there is a condition put during the marriage contract that the second husband was going to divorce her, then that will make it not valid. But if there is no term set, then there are more than one opinion whether this is permissible or not. The scholars of fiqh, they said if the husband, the scholar said that if the man said to his wife, "You are divorced 3 times in one occasion," then they said it is considered 3 divorces. But the other opinion is that if he would divorce her and she will get back to him before the iddah was over, and then divorce her again, and then divorce her after that again, then it will be 3. But Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Ibn Taymiyyah said, if the man divorced his wife 3 times, in one occasion, or even if he divorced her 3 times during the first iddah, he's going to consider 1.
وأخذ لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله
عن ابن تيمية توك بحديث ابن عباس
ثلاثي واحدة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر صدر من خلافة عمر.
That at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, divorce more than once at one occasion used to be considered one. But at the time of Umar, when he saw that people took divorce so lightly by just making divorcing over and over and over, he put make it more strict so that they will not abuse this. We were talking about the marriage of the Muhallil, and we talked about the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud in which that the Prophet ﷺ has cursed the person that is Muhallil, who would marry a woman so that she would become lawful for the fairest husband after three divorces. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, should I tell you by the male goat that tastes the male sheep or goat? And the Prophet ﷺ called the person who would make that marriage lawful for the fairest husband as Tais Musta'ar, and Tais is the he god. If the person who would come and marry the woman after those three divorces, if he put any condition that he was going to divorce her after the marriage, then that will fall under the category of the Tais Musta'ar or Muhallil that was cursed by the Prophet ﷺ. Or if they would just leave each other and they split from each other right after the marriage, that also will make that marriage as a marriage of Muhallil. And here for the man after the first and second divorces, he has to be careful either to keep his wife with good condition and faith and respect, or if he divorced her after the third time, then she is not going to be lawful for him unless until after she would marry somebody else. And that second husband would marry her on bona fide marriage, then divorce her. And the second husband has to marry her sincere marriage, bona fide marriage, not marriage that he was going to divorce her for the first husband to be lawful for him. And if that second husband has put any condition that would indicate that he was marrying her only to divorce her for the first husband, then that will make it invalid. And as we said, there was different opinions among the scholars. One group of the scholars said, if the second husband intended to marry this woman and divorce her afterward, even though he did not say that to anybody and he kept it to himself, that would make the marriage invalid as well. That is the first opinion. And that is the opinion of all the school of thoughts, the four school of thoughts. But there is another opinion taken by Abu Thawr and a group of the Hanafi school of thought followers. They said it is permissible if the man, the second husband, never spoke about it to anybody, but he intended to divorce her, but he never said this as a condition, then that will be okay, they said.
من غير مؤامرة غير اتفاق يعني مع السابق أمره أن يقيم معها.
And here the story that happened during the time of Umar, when a man divorced his wife three times and there was another man who came and married the woman in order to make her lawful for the fairest husband, even though this second man never talked to the fairest husband, but he just wanted to do him a favor. And when Umar knew about it, Umar told them that this will not be acceptable unless after the second husband will live with the woman as husband and wife. And some of the Tabi'een and Ibn Zubayr, they used to see that there's no problem with the second marriage if it was not indicated in the marriage that that second marriage was for the purpose of making her lawful. As long as that doesn't exist, they say it's okay. And Ibn Hazm said, Ibn Hazm and Qasim ibn Abdullah, Qasim ibn Muhammad, they said all of them are tabi'in, all three of them.
And Ibn Qayyim
said in his book I'lam al-Muqayyim, he said
whoever
married a woman as a muhallil so that he will make her lawful for the first husband, and after he made that marriage he liked her and he want to keep her, then it's okay for him, he can keep her, so that's okay.
وقال الشعبي لا بأس بالتحليل إذا لم يأمر به الزوج.
And الشعبي said the second marriage is okay as long as it was not requested by the first husband, the one who divorced three times.
وقال ليث بن سعد.
And ليث بن سعد
تزوجها ثم فارقها.
If the second person married her then divorced her after that, she can go back to the first husband and marry him again. And even though the second husband married her and divorced her, and that could be a muhallil, but if that happened anyway, he said that will be enough to make her lawful to go back to this first husband, and the punishment is going to get reached to the person who did the action of the second marriage anyway.
قال وقال الشافعي وأبو ثور.
الشافعي أبو ثور said
المحلل الذي يفسد نكاحه هو من تزوجها ليحلها.
The one whose marriage is invalid is the one that married the woman only with the intention of divorcing her, so she can go to the first husband. But if the person who does not make that as a condition during the marriage, then that will make it okay, and that is permissible. And the marriage is sound and okay and acceptable.
فأما من لم يشترط ذلك
but as long as the person put a condition during the marriage that he is marrying this woman and he is going to divorce her, then that will make it invalid. So there should be no conditions according to Shafi'i.
سواء شرط عليه ذلك قبل العقد أو لم يشترط نوى ذلك أو لم يهمل. قال أبو ثور وهو مكتوب. يعني يقول إن حتى
أنا الشافعي أنا أبو الثور ذي سيد
يقول حتى لو وقع الشراط لكن قبل العقد ليس في
even if there is some agreement before the second marriage for that woman that she was going to marry and divorce for the sake of going back to her first husband, but as long as that is not said during the marriage contract, then that would be okay. And Abu Thawr said, you know, the one who will do that, he will probably even be rewarded for that, because his intention is a good intention that he wanted to have this woman get back to her husband. The only condition is that they should not mention this during the marriage contract. And Imam Abu Hanifa, there are three reports from him. The first one is like Abu Thawr, the same as Abu Thawr opinion, which says that if the second husband did not mention anything of that in the marriage, then it would be okay for him to marry the woman and divorce her after all. And Muhammad and Abu Yusuf, both of them has reported from Abu Hanifa that if the second husband and the woman have agreed to do the second marriage just for the reason of making her lawful for the first husband, then that will make this unlawful. So that will make it unlawful and it's not valid marriage. So now we have three parties here: the first husband, the wife that was divorced three times, and the second man that get married to the woman. Abu Hanifa, the first opinion دي فارس
يعني المهم
ريبورت
الطرف الذي لا يعلم اللي هو الزوج السابق.
دي موست امبورتنت از ذات
لو علمت المراه والزوج الجديد فلا حرج انهم يعني كان الاتفاق بين المراه
والزوج. If the first husband didn't know about it then it's okay, that's according to the first report from ابو حنيفه.
يعني فهذه احدى الروايات عن ابي حنيفه. والثاني انه اذا علمت المراه والزوج الثاني لا تحل.
And the second report from Abu Hanifa is that if the woman and the second husband, both of them knew that they're going to get divorced after the marriage, so she can go to the first husband, that will make it invalid. And also two fellows of Abu Hanifa, Al-Hasan ibn Ziyad and Zufar wa Abi Hanifa, they said,
إنما تزوجها ليحلها للأول فإنه نكاح صحيح ويبطل الشرط.
And he said even if the during the marriage contract they have mentioned that this person is marrying this woman only to make her lawful for the first husband, he said still the marriage is sound and acceptable, except that this condition that they put in there should is not acceptable. So it's like the marriage itself is okay, but there is one condition that was set in the marriage which is not valid. The condition itself is not valid, but the marriage should be okay.
So,
and that's also what that also has been taken from Umar ibn Khattab. These are three narrations that were reported from Abu Hanifa. So these are the school of thought's opinion about this. And here is mentioned the argument of those who disagreed with the four schools of thought.
قالوا قد قال الله تعالى فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكح زوجا.
Their argument is that Allah said in the Quran is that she will not be lawful for him with the first husband until after she get married to somebody else.
وهو راغب في ردها إلى زوجها الأول. فيدخل في حديث ابن عباس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لها نكاح رغبة.
This group that disagreed with the school of thoughts, they used this ayah as a support for their case. That in the ayah, in the verse, it's not said explicitly, other than just she get married to somebody before she can get married to the first husband. And they said it does not say bona fide marriage, even though the Jamhur or the school of thoughts altogether, they interpreted this that it has to be a bona fide marriage.
قالوا أيضا حجة هذا الحديث.
And this group also said that the Prophet
إلى الأول
صلى الله عليه وسلم
ذوق العسيلة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made the condition for that man who married the woman.
فالعسيلة
is only after he would have intercourse with her.
But
the fact that the Prophet ﷺ cursed the fact that the Prophet ﷺ have cursed the one who was muhallil, it doesn't mean to any muhallil. It was only to a specific type of muhallils. That's, I mean, this second group argument. Their argument is that the hadith that mentioned the curse against the muhallil is not a general hadith that will apply to everyone.
الولي الذي زوج بنته المرة الأولى من رجل يقول لك هذا محلل، محلها كانت حراما عليه.
And they said that محلل، the word محلل is basically can be applied to anybody. If man and woman get married for the first time ever, that is تحليل for them to be husband and wife, which was not halal to each other before then. And he said محلل is a general word that and if we take the hadith, then we can extend it to many different cases. So
قالوا فإذا يعني هذا النص لسنا ندري المحلل المراد من هذا النص أهو الذي نوى التحليل.
And this second group they said, well, we have to look into the meaning of محلل in that hadith. Is the muhallil basically the one who just intended to make the woman lawful for the first husband, or is it the person who will make a condition in the marriage contract that he was marrying the woman only to divorce her so that she can marry the first husband? Or is the muhallil is the one who make everything that Allah made lawful, he will take it, because muhallil is coming from the root word halal. So does that mean muhallil is anyone who basically do the halal? So they said, tell us what the meaning of muhallil. If somebody got married to the woman and he never mentioned the fact that he was going to divorce her for the first husband, so and the marriage is okay and everything, then after that he divorced her, then this person, even though he was never intended to do this for the sake of the first husband, he will fall under the definition of muhallil, because basically he made the woman now lawful or halal for the first husband to marry her again. So that person, even though everything was done with sincere intention, right intention, but again, that's muhallil. So no matter whether this is done on the right or wrong, but with the right intention or the wrong intention, still the person who did it is muhallil. So their argument is that muhallil that was cursed is only a specific type of people who did specific actions. And they said basically here muhallil is anyone who will try to make the unlawful lawful. But anyone who would intend to do good following the rule of Allah, then he is okay, and he is doing the right thing according to the teaching of Islam. So it's basically language interpretation of the word muhallil from the hadith. And Imam Shawkani said, has responded to all these opinions. He said, let's make this clear that all of this is away from the truth or from the right thing. And the issue should not be should be clear to everyone. Should not be so everyone should really know whether this is right or wrong. So all these arguments and different opinions are off point. So it's clear it's not right. And the next section is the section of the marriage of shighar. The shighar here is that a man will make a deal with another man that he will marry his daughter, and he will let the other man marry, like they exchange daughters. I mean, I marry your daughter, you marry my daughter. Or like a man said to another man that, you know, I'll marry you my sister and I marry your sister. So like exchange. This is called nikah shighar. It narrated from Nafi' through Ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited the shighar. And the shighar is when a man will marry his daughter to another man with the condition that another man will marry the first man his daughter, and there will be no dowry exchange between them. And this was narrated by the جماعة من ترمزي أنا أبو داود نان منشن دو ورد شغار in his narration
قال وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه
ابن عمر narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said there is no شغار in Islam no شغار in Islam
وعن أبي هريرة
عن أبي هريرة narrated that
قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن
prohibited الشغار and the شغار is that a man will say to another man that I will marry you my daughter and you may and I marry your daughter or two men each one will say to the other I will marry you my sister and I marry your sister And also narrated by Abdul Rahman ibn Hurmuz al-Arak that Abbas ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas married Abdul Rahman ibn al-Hakam to his daughter. And Abdul Rahman ibn al-Hakam has married his daughter to al-Abbas. And they have made that cross marriage as dowry for each other.
عبد الرحمن بن الحكم زوج بنته للعباس
So each one of them has married the daughter of the other.
وجعلاه صداقة. يعني
And they made that cross marriage as a dowry for each other. And then Muawiyah has wrote to Marwan ibn al-Hakam ordering him to split between these two couples, the two pairs of couples, because this was done as a shigar, and shigar is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited and this was narrated by Ahmad and Abu Dawood so Muawiyah has commanded or ordered that these marriages to be annulled and Imran ibn Husayn said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said
قال لا جلب ولا جنب
said لا جلب ولا جنب no jalab and no janab and no shigar in Islam and whoever does intihab he is not from us narrated by Ahmad and Tirmizi and Sheikh ما معنى جلب و جنب
هو يعني أظنه في الزكاة اللي هو بمعنى ان الجمع بين خليقين خشية الصدقة او التفريق بينهما خشية الصدقة
It's jalaba and janaba is like when people cheat in their wealth so that they will avoid paying zakah. For example, like a person will split his cattle or sheep with his neighbor so that it will be less than the minimum requiring the sadaqah so they can avoid the sadaqah and they can just cheat on the sadaqah. So that's jalaba and janaba. The Prophet ﷺ said there is no jalaba or janaba in Islam and no shigar in Islam.
قال ومن انتهب فليس من النخبة
يعني أن
انتهب من النهب يعني
and anyone who will steal the thief the one that steals or the one that mugs others rob others no robbery and whoever who rob others is not among from us so this chapter is about the marriage of shigar and we went over the hadith that talks about shigar and examples of how shigar can take place and the scenarios that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has prohibited us from doing it where people will struck a deal with that they will marry each other's women and do that instead of paying the dowry or the sadaq for either of the marriages
يعني كأنه إيه ولي مثلا، هل أنا الولي لكل الزوج مثلا زوجتك
According to the Shafi,
إلا يدها أو إلا
just like you know somebody will say to another person that I will marry you my daughter except her arm, so it's like I marry her to you but with exception her hand is not like a limb, it's not it's like somebody will split his daughter limb from her and that's just a Shafi where he make his woman, whether she's his daughter or his sister, part of her as a dowry for his marrying the other man's daughter or sister. So in this case, there is no dowry being paid in these two marriages.
هنا يقول وللشغار صورة
and شغار has many ways or pictures or
نراجع تفسير الجلب
والجنب we're just checking on the meaning of two words
نراجع إن شاء الله بس قبل
Inshallah we will check the terms of this hadith on next lecture inshallah or we will check on it after the lecture so we'll go back to the marriage of Shighar and according to the author is that there are two scenarios of Shighar one of them is mentioned in the hadith
بضع كل منهما من الصداق.
That the two men will exchange each other's wives, I mean sisters or daughters, without any dowry being paid for the marriages. So like the man would say, okay, I will marry you, my daughter, and I marry your daughter, and there will be no dowry.
كل واحد من الوليين على الآخر
picture
أن يزوجه وليته
each one of the two men will make it a condition for the other to marry him his daughter like each one will make it a condition for the other that I mean like you will marry me your daughter if I marry you my daughter and some of the scholars looked at the first scenario and they said that's the only one that is prohibited and they did not talk about the second scenario. And they said just because they did not mention the dowry doesn't make the contract invalid. The marriage contract is valid because they did not explicitly talk about no dowry. In the agreement. So that was kept silent. So that will make the marriage in each case valid. But what make it invalid is if they explicitly said that, you know, I will marry you, my daughter, as a dowry for you to marry me, your daughter.
So,
and some of the wisdoms that this type of marriages there is are unfair to the women that will be married in this case because the dowry or the sadaq is a right for the woman only it should be paid to the woman herself not to her wali or anything And in this case, when they do it that way, that means they basically removed that or taken away that right from the women. So, based in that, if the marriage happened between the two men, for example, let's say Zayd and Amr, each one of them married the other's daughter or his daughter or sister,
وبرضا منها
and this was there were marriages were done with agreement and there was no mention about the dowry at all, then that would be okay. And this happened in the Salaf before. So like Sa'id ibn Zayd was married to the sister of Ibn al-Khattab, and Ibn al-Khattab was married to the sister of Ibn Sa'id ibn Zayd. So that happened before. So they were marrying each other's sister. So, but each one of them was done with a separate contract, and it was not a swap of sisters and without dowry or anything. So.
قال ابن عبد البر اجمع العلماء على ان نكاح الصغار لا يجوز.
Said that all the scholars agreed that the marriage of shigar is not valid. It's not permissible. But they disagreed, or they have different opinions on whether it is valid or not when it happens. So they agreed that it is prohibited. But if it takes place, is it valid marriage or not valid marriage? So by that, I mean, does that mean like if that kind of marriage took place, should they annul it and reverse it, so they split the husband from wife?
فقال الجمهور على البطلان.
So the jumhur, the old school of thought, they said that the marriage is not valid and they should annul the contract before the man and woman would see each other. So Imam Malik and Al-Nawza'i, they said they have to annul the marriage before the man and woman will get together. So they have to annul it and reverse it right away. But if the man saw the wife, the woman, and they had intercourse, so that would be too late to annul the marriage, and they have to repair the marriage contract in that case.
قال وذهبت الحنفية إلى صحته ووجوب المهر.
And the Hanafi school of thought, they said that the marriage is valid and there must be dowry in there. They made the dowry as a must in that case. So they said there is a defect on the marriage contract, but it is a sound marriage contract, and that can be fixed by having the dowry in there. By having the dowry paid, each one of the two men must pay the dowry to the woman that he is marrying. And according to Zuhri and Layth and a group of the scholars, they agreed to that opinion also. So a group of the scholars, they said the shigar marriage is okay, but there must be dowry paid to each woman in that case.
And
Imam al-Nawawi said,
من الأخوات وبنات الأخ وغيرهن كالبنات في البيت. يعني الحديث إيه؟ ورد في البنات.
And the hadith that we read talked about daughters and sisters. And Imam al-Nawawi said that the scenario of the shigar marriage is not limited to the daughters and sisters only. It is basically, it includes all the relations, like any person who have a woman that is his that he can marry her to somebody, he cannot do shigar with that according to the hadith, even though the hadith mentioned only daughters and sisters. So, but that can be extended to other relations as well.
الباب الذي بعده باب الشروط
إن كان section of having terms and conditions during the marriage contract. And Uqba ibn Amir narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said conditions that you must fulfill are the ones that you use during marriage or. And Abu Huraira said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make it prohibited that a man would get engaged to a woman that whose brother was engaged to already, and the man should not bid on the trade or the goods that his brother already has decided to buy, and the woman should not ask for her sisters to be divorced. And Umar said that the Prophet ﷺ said that it is unlawful for a woman to be married at the expense of her sister's divorce, which means like one woman will be divorced so that the other will be married. So what are the conditions during the marriage contracts? In the first hadith it said that if there are any conditions set during the marriage contract, then this must be fulfilled. And this is one of the marriage is one of the cases where conditions must be fulfilled. So during the marriage contract there may be certain terms and conditions set by one of the two parties, whether the man or the woman, and as long as both agreed upon them, they must be fulfilled. But the Prophet ﷺ went further and he made prohibition for a woman that is getting married to a man who has a wife already, that she cannot make a condition that the first wife to be divorced before she can marry the man. So there is a prohibition in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ made it prohibited for a woman marrying a man to seek that he should divorce his first wife and make that a condition. And that is if that happens, that means she is basically taking away a right of that first wife, and she is even affecting the sustenance of that first wife by having her be terminated in her marriage. So that is why there is prohibition in this case.
قال الخطابي رحمه الله الشروط في النكاح مختلفة.
الخطابي said there may be different types of conditions during the marriage contract. Some of them are one that should be accepted and should be fulfilled. And those will fall under the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them lawful for us. For example, some of these conditions that Allah himself has set for a marriage. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, keep them with dignity and honor, or split with them in the way that is lawful too. So this condition is not the condition that has to be written, because it's already mentioned by Allah in the Quran, that we have to live together, husband and wife, with respect and dignity, and if that doesn't work, then we can split also with respect and dignity. This is a condition set by Allah, and it doesn't have to be written every time. So these are some of the rights that Allah has given to the husband and to the wife as conditions based on their marriage. So these are conditions that are automatically there in the marriage. And the second type of conditions, the second type of conditions, all the scholars agreed that these conditions are not supposed to be fulfilled, like when somebody puts a condition that is haram, like if when a woman will ask the man to divorce his first wife. As the Prophet said, anyone who put a condition or a term against the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the book of Allah, then that condition should not be honored, except a condition or a term that will emphasize halal as halal and haram as haram. But if somebody wanted to put an unlawful condition in there, then that should be rejected. So we have to only put conditions that are accepted according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the condition that we can accept only are the ones that are consistent with the book of Allah. And the third type of conditions are the conditions or terms that scholars have different opinions about them. And these are conditions or terms that are not really, there is no explicit prohibition of them in the Quran. For example, like if the woman said to the man, my condition is that you will not get married as long as we are together, and you are not going to have any ama or slave woman with you as long as I am your wife. Or she will make the condition that she would stay in her house and not move in his house. So the scholars have different opinions about this type of conditions. Some of the and some of the scholars said all of these type of conditions are not from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it's not an obligation on the man, for example, to accept or fulfill them, because these terms or conditions are not derived from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not consistent with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the husband or the wife to accept them, there is no obligation for them to do that, because they have these are conditions that are not from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the opinion of all the school of thoughts. And also the hadith that we just read, that the vows that should be fulfilled are the ones that are done during marriage, only are the ones that are according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This other opinion is that the opinion of the Imam Ahmad and some of those who agreed with him, they said that this third type of conditions are the conditions that people have to fulfill and honor Quran, they don't have to come from the book of Allah, but they have to be within the halal and haram, and they cannot violate the book of Allah. And according to the Shafi'i, conditions during marriage are two types. There are two types of conditions. One type are terms that will get back to the dowry. Like for example, there will be a condition when the dowry should be paid, and a specific time, etc. That must be fulfilled. And the other type of conditions are conditions beyond the dowry and when to be paid, and he said we have to look at them case by case. Yeah, so these are beyond the dowry, then, and these are beyond what Allah has set as conditions. He said now this type of conditions, we have to look at them case by case. Because there is no, the husband or wife are not obligated to fulfill them.
قال ابن حبيب حمل العلماء هذا النهي على الندب فلو فعل ذلك.
And also it was said that Ghala ibn Habib, that some of the scholars took this condition during marriage just like the promise, and the promise that the husband would give to the wife, like when the husband said agree that he will not marry as long as he had this woman as his wife, he will not marry again. And our Habib said many of the scholars took this as part of the dealing with each other in the best respectful manner, is to honor these conditions. And some of the examples of what the scholars said. Some of the conditions that are part of the contract of marriage is that he will deal with her and live with her in respect, and to take care of her sustenance and to take care of her residence, and he will not he will fulfill all her needs. And if he has another wife, is that he will be fair and just. And all of these actually are among the conditions set by the Sharia anyway. So the Sharia already has set those conditions on the man towards his wife anyway. And his condition on her is that she will not leave her home without his knowledge, and that she will not refuse him if he come to her for sexual intercourse. And all of these are emphasized by the Sharia anyway, without even the husband mentioning them. But any conditions that are contradicting the marriage itself should not be honored. Like she would put a condition that he will not treat his other wife as fairly as he would do her, or he should not take care of her financial need, or he should divorce her, or any of these conditions, he must not accept them and he must not fulfill them. And these conditions are conditions that contradict in the marriage itself. And these so even if she said that he is not obligated by any means to fulfill.
No,
but the marriage itself is valid. But in, according to one of the opinions of Shafi'i, is that the marriage contract itself is not going to be valid if such conditions were set or indicated in it. So the contract is invalid if such things were mentioned, like the one that we just mentioned.
ثم قال واختلف أهل العلم في اشتراط المرأة ألا يخرجها زوجها من بلدها.
And the scholars have different opinions that, like, if the woman put a condition that she is not going to leave her hometown, and some of the companions included Umar. They said that if the wife said that she is not going to leave her hometown, then that group, which includes Umar as well, they said the man must fulfill that. And Shafi'i and Ahmad, they carry the same opinion, that if the wife said she is not leaving her hometown and the man agreed to it, then he must fulfill that.
قال وروى ابن وهب بإسناد جيد أن رجلا تزوج امرأة فشرط ألا يخرجها من دارها.
Reported that a man married a woman and he agreed that he will not take her out of her area. And when they went to Umar,
قال أبو عبيدة تضادت الروايات عن عمر في هذا.
رواية
أخرى عن عمر
that when they came to Umar. Umar said the woman or the wife must be with her husband, which means that she has to go with him. But Abu Ubaida said that we don't know if Umar did say that. And it was said by Ali that Allah's condition has preceded her condition, and Allah's condition is that she has to obey her husband. That's been mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now her condition that she is not going to follow him is contradicting the first condition said by Allah, that she has to obey her husband. But as long as he is taking her to a place that is safe and secure, she shouldn't really oppose to it. And the Jamhur has accepted Ali's opinion, which means that the obedience to the husband should be given preference over conditions, like she's not going to go with him where he's going. So even though it's recommended for the husband to honor that condition, but he is not obligated to be bound by it.
بخمسين على ألا يخرجها فله إخراجها ولا يلزمه إلا المسلم.
And some of the scholars said if the dowry was
لها يعني مثيلتها قرابتها من النساء أخواتها وبنات عماتها وبنات أعمامها وبنات أخوالها وخالاتها.
If the woman relatives, like her sisters and daughters and aunts, and if they all has received sadaq or dowry of 100, and now when she came to the marriage with this man, she said, okay, I'm going to give up half of my dowry with the condition that I cannot leave my home. And in this case also, he's not obligated to fulfill that condition. And Hanafi,
لا يعني إذا هي أسقطت جزءا من الصداق مقابل شرط من هذه الشروط صحيح لا يلزم الزوج بهذا الشرط، لكن إذا أخل به عليه أن
يكمل لها. According to Hanafiya, they said if the woman gave up half of her tzibaq or some of her dowry with the condition that the husband cannot take her out of her home, but if the husband did, then he has to pay her the rest of the tzibaq. And Shafi'i said that the marriage is valid if he take her out, even though he broke that promise or that condition, and he has to pay her dowry full. And at the end of this section, there were some hadith mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, any condition not in alliance with Allah's book should not be honored. And the Prophet ﷺ said, all the believers must respect their conditions, except a condition that violate halal and haram. And also Tabarani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Umm Mubashir bint al-Barra got engaged, she said she had a condition that her husband cannot marry after her any woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a condition that is wrong condition to start with, which means she cannot set that kind of condition upon him. We will stop here and we'll continue next time, inshallah. If a woman was divorced three times and a man married her after that, and then the woman has that khul', and khul' means basically the woman leave that first man and divorce him. So is it lawful for her to go to the first husband? The answer is yes. If that happened, yes, she can go back to the first husband.
وقال ليست العلة في نكاح الشباب أنه لم يسمى الصداقة.
Nikah al-shighar, the marriage of shighar, the wisdom behind it is not because of the dowry. What made it prohibited is that they made the marriage of each other's women as a dowry for those marriages, and there was no dowry paid to either of the marriages. That would make shighar unlawful. The wisdom behind making it prohibited, it's because it's in itself there is like unjust marriage for the women, because the women in this case are paid no dowry, and basically their marriages to each of the two men was taken as a dowry in itself, and that is unfair for the women itself. And whenever that no dowry condition is being set in those marriages, then that's shighar and that's a prohibited one. But if people do two separate independent marriage for each case, then that would be okay, and they can even pay the dowry later on. That is okay and that's acceptable. But what makes it prohibited is that when people come to agree explicitly that is no dowry on these marriages, and that would make it prohibited.
نعم ورد يعني
it's reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم during the marriage of Ali from Fatima, the Prophet it narrated that the Prophet heard that Ali was intending to get married to the daughter of Abi Jahl after he married Fatima, and the Prophet gave a speech and he has praised Al-Asim, his son-in-law, the husband of Zainab, his daughter. And he said that Asim, he promised me and he fulfilled his promise to me. And the Prophet then said that the Prophet said that the daughter of the Prophet is not going to be in the same house with the daughter of the enemy of the of Allah, which means Abu Jahl's daughter. And whoever does anything that hurt Fatima, my daughter, actually did hurt me. And from that speech is understood that the Prophet requested Ali not to marry on Fatima, and people took this as probably the Prophet did not want Ali to marry anyone when was Fatima, but also people said, well, maybe this is only specific that Ali should not marry the daughter of Abi Jahl, because Abi Jahl was the enemy of Islam. And as the Prophet said that whoever do any harm to Fatima is like he did it to me. And whenever a man get married over his wife, the first wife is going to get hurt because of that. And we know after Fatima passed away, Ali did get married after that. And Fatima passed away 6 months after the Prophet ﷺ. So Ali did get married after that. But he did not marry any woman when Fatima was alive. So this may be specifics that only for Ali and Fatima in this case. And doesn't mean that, I mean, it should not be taken as that having more than one wife is prohibited, you know. And this hadith is one of the hadiths that people take as support that it is okay to have that condition during marriage contract, that the woman will say that I don't want the husband to marry over me. And if the man violate that condition which he agreed to, she has right to do the khala', which means basically to leave him. But many people said that hadith of Fatima and Ali was specific to the Prophet and Fatima and Ali, and that cannot be extended to other to anyone else. So there is those two opinions exist.
Inshallah, we'll stop here and we'll continue next time, inshallah.